hugged tightly to Aunt Katie's bosom in a long embrace. I could tell she raised half the village. From ages 3 to 5, I accompanied Dad on his summer journeys to Alaska, where he worked with the Chickaloo Native Village. We stayed in a cramped trailer adjacent to Aunt Katie's rickety dwelling. Related to nearly every member of the tribe, Aunt Katie chose me to refine and mentor. She whisked me into the kitchen, sending out a bowl of blueberries and moose nose soup, an Athabascan delicacy. Sometimes I dreaded visiting Aunt Katie because she showed her love by setting unreachable expectations and quickly reprimanding mistakes. Even so, compassion shined through her harsh facade. She taught me to hold a needle so it could penetrate a moose hide without hurting my hand, and she promised I would one day sew beads to form intricate flowers like hers. I triggered Aunt Katie's memory, hoping she would recount past experiences like learning ways to preserve salmon for long desolate winters, and witnessing her people move to cities, forgetting their heritage. At 7, Dad accepted a job that forced my family to move across the country and become Chechakos, Alaskan newcomers. I found myself attending the one-room K-8 Chickaloon Tribal Yane Da'a school. We read, worked math problems, and devoted afternoons to learning Athabascan culture. While my K-2 school in Madison, Wisconsin was large enough to have a swimming pool, 7 students were enrolled at Yane Da'a, and everyone was related except me. The school building, with no running water and a composting toilet, stood 500 meters from Aunt Katie's house. After class, I walked across the lawn, shook the snow off my boots, and stepped into the kitchen to give Aunt Katie a customary hug. With an aging body limiting her movement, it became my job to search for ingredients and carefully fix a late lunch. Sometimes I spilled chicken broth or let flowers dust the countertop. To this, Aunt Katie called me her favorite nickname, Klet, Athabascan for fart. These penetrating insults cut at my wavering confidence, forcing me to grow a protective skin between my sensitive feelings and rough outside voices. At school and tribal gatherings, I was aware I had no native blood. Alone with Aunt Katie, though, I felt like a granddaughter, being conditioned for a future of responsibility and leadership. Singled out among the tribe, my family's heritage stemmed from the large Ashkenazi clan, and Mom strongly yearned for Jewish companions. So before 2nd grade, we moved to Homer, a 6-hour drive from Aunt Katie and the Red Schoolhouse. At Yane Da'a, I learned when an important person dies, nature responds. 8 years later, Mount Augustine began spewing volcanic ash. When I was told Aunt Katie passed from this world, I understood. Wearing face masks to protect us, my family drove north. After the funeral came a traditional potlatch, where over 150 people squeezed into the now-enlarged schoolhouse. Dancing to a familiar drumbeat, I felt Aunt Katie's expectations within reach.